Welcome to CSUN 2014 SPN Special Number 2, sponsored by HIMSS. Be sure and visit the websites of all of the companies represented in the following interviews.
Live in San Diego for CSUN 2014 coverage sponsored by HIMSS. I am here at the Altix booth. I'm speaking with Michael. How are you, Michael?
Hello, I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent. Now, you guys are from Poland, right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so glad you were able to travel here. I hope the show is treating you well.
Long way, but very...
Exactly. So, Altix does several very fascinating things, and the one that I want to focus on first is, let's talk a little bit about indoor GPS, because that's a thing that a lot of people want to have happen, and it's one of those things that everybody sort of works on in a different way. Talk about what you guys do.
We create navigation, GPS navigation for blind people. Here using Google Maps and Lodestones.
Okay.
It's exactly provide blind people to the address with number. We can use this device using bottoms or voice information.
Right.
Using one bottom, we can say navigate, yes, navigate. Yes. And another, yes, it's we can use exactly number of the street, and this GPS Navi goes with blind people exactly to this street.
Now, does Altix develop the software that is installed on a particular type of hardware, or do you sell the unit together?
Device.
It is a device.
Software, okay. And device.
Right. What about tactile maps? Because I know you also do that. How does that work?
We have tactile maps for blind and low vision people. These maps have voice information, graphic information. We prepare these maps for, blind and low vision people. People can, using this map, can feel, touch it, and knows how to get to the rooms in our office, or how to get to the place when this map stands outside building. Yes. It's
so given that you have both voice and tactile in one place, is this on a touchscreen where you're able to load a map on the touchscreen when you're ready, or is it done a little bit differently?
It's done a little bit different because we are done by bottoms and special places where, for example, it's a room. We create a bottom with voice information because touchscreen, it's not good for blind people, yes, because it's we can't touch it. Blind person using bottom, they feel it. Mm-hmm. Push it and hear the information, for example, how to get to the ladies or men's toilet. And they also have a map, yes, tactile map.
Right.
Using hand, touching maps, can feel in braille, in plastic information, how to get to the exactly room what they're looking in, for example, post office.
So let's say that someone is going into a hotel and they want to know where things are. What is the process of mapping the indoor place for someone so that that is then available for the blind person?
Oh, we put the biggest map in the entrance of this building. Yes, we have exactly this floor, a map out of this floor with rooms, information where are we in this moment. Yes, is the sign, graphic sign, you are here.
Right.
In this place stands this map. And we have rooms with braille, with information of the number of rooms, of names of rooms. We can also put information in braille and graphic on the door. Yes,
yes.
Blind person can feel it when he wants to go to the rooms 20. Mm-hmm. He touching and knows in the biggest maps how to get there. When he arrived, he can feel it on the doors, graphic information and braille. He is in room 12, yes?
Yes.
We can also create smallest maps, exactly putting on the wall in any places on this floor. It's with voice information, how to get exactly to the ladies' men's room. Yes, for example, go 50 meters left, turn right, you will be here. We can also create this with Wi-Fi and Bluetooth information. Blind person can connect with these maps using smartphones.
Very good.
And can find using smartphones where is this map. He using smartphones searching maps exactly when he finds a map what he looking. Using one bottom, he heard information that this map is in area or not.
Right.
True.
For people who want to learn more about what you do and what is available, where can they go to get information?
We have many websites. Okay. For example, altix.pl.
Yes.
Yes, this is Polish site.
Mm-hmm.
We have also for navigation is navi.eu.
Yes.
This I think is the size website where we can change the language. For example, altix.pl is also in English, yep. Russian, German language. It's just only we can change the language and hear or read information about tactile navigation and any others product what we have in our seller.
Excellent. So that's altix.pl,
yes.
And navi.eu, yes?
Yes, exactly.
Very good. Michael, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Taking a moment to speak with me, and I wish you guys the best of luck. Great job so far.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Inger.
Welcome back, everyone, to CSUN 2014 Live, sponsored by HIMSS on the Saratalk Podcast Network. I'm Joe Steinkamp with a good friend of mine, Gord Hudak. Gord, good to see you. How was the trip down from old Canada?
It was long. It probably took us
about... How many connectors, right?
Just one out of Toronto, but it took about 10 hours to get here.
Gotcha.
But we left about 5 feet of snow, so that's okay.
I met some other people who are from Ontario and said that they enjoyed being in positive territory as far as temperatures went.
It's so nice to look outside and actually see the cement.
That's true. Well, you also came down to talk about some wonderful new cane designs, and I've been sporting this particular one I'm holding in my hand now for just a little bit of time. Let's talk about what you got going on.
Well, that's one of our premium canes. It's a cane that has a new tapered or conically shaped joint.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a cork handle, which is really good in the hotter climates. It doesn't get as sticky as the natural rubber does.
Right.
And it comes with any of the typical Ambutech. It can have the slip-on style or the hook style. And any of our 12 varieties of tips that we have, it's, I call it a rigid folding cane. The joints are so tight, there is very little loss of tactile transmission from tip to grip.
And very little wobble. That was what Ricky noticed too when I let her play with it. She's a guide user mostly, so when she actually held this, she was really surprised by it is very lightweight and still gives you a good feeling of tapping towards the ground. And this is a mushroom tip that we're talking about that I'm holding.
And because it's carbon fiber, it is light.
Mm-hmm.
The tapered joints are made from anodized aluminum,
mm-hmm.
so they're stronger than aluminum, they're light, and again, they fit together almost perfectly.
Absolutely.
In fact, sometimes they will actually, what I call, seize up. But all it takes is a quick tap on the, take the cane at a 45 degree, give it a sharp tap, and the joints loosen right up, and everything's great.
Excellent. And the talk about the grip here, because that grip's kind of not the old style golf grip where it's all round on one side. And
no, this is a grip that came about, we sell in a lot of countries around the world, and some of the warmer countries, Africa, Spain, that type of thing, the rubber grip tends to get a little sticky in the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were asking us for was something that didn't do that. We looked at a bunch of natural materials. We do have a wood grip as well. But cork seemed to be the one that just fit the best.
Yeah.
And people worried about would it hold up. And we sort of compared it to fishing rods. Fishing rods that get thrown in the bottom of a boat, get thrown in the corner of a boathouse, and yet they last for years.
And the actual kind of barber pole style, the kind of spirals, give it a good grip too.
Yes. I think that's a function of it's done on a lathe.
Mm-hmm.
So they just can make that spiral as it slowly turns on a lathe. But it still has the flat side that we've kept. That's what most O&Ms
describe
as the best.
For those old folks like me who've been doing the pencil grip forever.
Yes.
And absolutely. Well, cool. And of course, that's not the only version that we have. There's multiple canes that are available, correct?
Yeah, one of the things we're launching at CSUN this year is we're trying to bring canes more mainstream, make them more fun. A person that I know, and he's a European, he was a vice president for one of their not-for-profits.
Yeah.
And he always said, Gord, if we can make white canes sexy, that'd be great. So what we've done is we've relaunched Ambutech. We have new graphics, new logo, and we have canes available in fun colors. The grip is colored. The finger guards are colored. The tips are colored. So we've got three themes. We have a magenta, a green, a blue, and an orange. As well as the standard black.
Wow. And so we're going to accessorize them and call it the Bling Collection? Is that what we're...
I'm not sure what we're going to call it. And so far it's
not
been...
Not the Bling Collection, I bet.
I would say it's been about 75% positive.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Well, you know, if you are somebody who wants to have something to make a standout appearance, you would want to do that. Say if you're doing a power suit or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've had so many people who are looking at getting a colored cane, and we don't really advocate colored canes for use, you know, out on the street and traffic, that kind of thing. It confuses drivers. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So we were searching for something that could individualize a cane, but keep that white cane status. And I think we've managed to do it.
Excellent. So where can people find out about all the wonderful new stuff, and how can they get to know the new Amputech?
Well, we're going to launch our new website in about 2 months, but right now it's www.amputech.com. Or you can call our customer service line at 1-800-561-3340 and talk to either Laura or Bethany.
Excellent. Gord, it's always good to see you, my man.
Thanks
I appreciate
for coming
it.
By, Joe.
Absolutely. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2014, sponsored by HIMSS, I'm Joe Steinkamp. Joe Steinkamp on the floor of CSUN 2014 in sunny San Diego. And I am here with Corey from Ahmed. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. So I'm familiar with the products. Some of the early Ahmeds are very durable. And in fact, I love one of the units that had the control pad on the side. I remember one of the originals that had the switches, and it was very white and easy to use, but you've got something new at show to talk about, I think.
Absolutely, we do. Actually, the unit's been on the market for about a year now, but we've completed a very nice student package.
Okay.
And it's called the Omax Speaks, is the whole package itself. What that consists of is our Omax S camera, which plugs into a laptop or has a VGA connection that can go straight away to just a standalone computer monitor.
Excellent.
So the student can actually utilize it two different ways, as a flex type system, especially for those elementary school students that aren't quite up onto a laptop yet, but they don't have to buy another unit when they do get to that area.
Okay.
So works really good for school districts.
Excellent.
When it goes into the laptop, it has a USB connection, and the software comes with the unit itself. All you do is load it up, turn it on, and now you have your CCTV connected to your laptop. You can do tabletop viewing. That camera rotates outwardly, so you can do distance viewing as well, which is great for a classroom setting or a business setting as well. But what really caps this product off is now the other side of it, which we call the Voice PC, and that's the document scanning and reading. Uh-huh. So now you have text-to-speech as well as your live mode in one single package. So there's two USB connections, one for the document scanner, one for the live mode camera, and then you can toggle back and forth between those. Just hit Alt Tab on your PC and you can go between those different products itself.
With the same camera?
Actually, there's two different cameras.
Okay.
One on each side of the PC that you have.
Gotcha.
But it's a great system itself. The key thing is that we utilized ISIS software, another manufacturer's software.
Right.
But what's nice about it is it's very quick, recognizes and processes the text-to-speech very quickly, and it's very accurate. So, you know, the document scanning takes a picture, starts the process, and will immediately start reading it back as soon as it has that process going.
The voices that it uses?
They are the Ivona voices, so it's very nice and clear.
Right.
It's a female voice that you have, and you can change it to a male voice as well.
Okay, cool. And is it platform dependent? Are we Windows and Mac, or just Windows? Or?
Currently, it's only available on the Windows platform.
Okay.
However, as you know, you can run those Windows programs on your Mac.
Correct.
You just have to do a little tweaking on it.
Absolutely. And Windows 8, 7 kind of things?
Absolutely. So fully compatible with any Windows device you have.
Oh, no, don't say that. We'll start talking Surface.
Okay, all right.
Hold on a second. Let's not get the listeners writing me any nasty letters. Hold on. Collapsible? How heavy is the unit? Do you know?
The Omax S, which is your live mode camera, collapses down and actually is about 7 pounds.
Okay.
The document scanner is less than a pound. It's very small and compact.
Okay.
The nice thing is it all goes into a nice carry case. And usually how I deal with it is I have a roller bag for my laptop. My camera bag goes over the top of that. And I have my whole system going with me no matter where I go.
Now, is it its own power or does it feed off the laptop?
It can go either way. It doesn't feed off of the laptop for the Omax S.
Okay.
That actually has either a power cord that plugs into the wall, or it has a battery that will last about 4 hours on a single charge. so you can be away from the
camera. Camera could outlast most laptop batteries, probably.
Pretty much, yeah. Yes. But you do have that ability to be, you know, totally away from the power itself.
Excellent. So where can people find this particular unit and other things that are available from Aumex?
They can actually get on our website, aumedgroup.com, and that's AUMEDGROUP.com, or they can call us directly at area code 650-622-9071, and that would be for Aumed Incorporated here in the U.S.
Excellent. Corey, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you as well. Appreciate it, too.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network CSUN 2014 coverage, sponsored by HIMSS, this is Joe Steinkamp. Welcome back to CSUN 2014 here on the show floor in San Diego. It's Joe Steinkamp reminding you once again that this coverage is sponsored by HIMSS. I'm here in front of APH talking to my good friend Larry. Larry, how's the show been so far?
It's been fantastic. Good sessions, good exhibit hall. Like, yeah, absolutely.
It does feel a little busier than last year, doesn't
it? It does, yeah.
And that's always a good thing. And good things come in small packages like updates, huh?
That is right. We've been hard at work on the Braille Plus 18 update. As you all know, we've been on a mission to get this upgraded to version 4.x, and we've actually got KitKat running on it, the latest version.
Oh, my gosh.
But the reason we haven't, and in fact, it's nice and stable, it's fast, we love everything about it, but... There's always but. Huh? It's perfect but. I used to work with a lady that she'd say, Larry, this is perfect but. And I started calling her Miss Perfect But. But anyway.
That sounds like a trip to HR. Anyway, you keep going, Larry.
This is perfect but. There's three problems.
Yes, sir.
And they're all screen reader related. And, you know, what we did at APH with the current version, I should say, is, you know, we had written our own screen reader.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody that's using Android will recognize these three problems. One of them is that there's no contracted Braille input on text boxes in Android. Are you familiar with that?
I am. Yeah. You know, doing that Android show for several years with JJ and Anna.
So the Braille Plus 18 is actually the only Android device that gives you contracted Braille input.
All right.
So the other one is speech in a text box.
Right.
And,
and that's problematic once again. Yep.
Yeah, we had that problem conquered with our screen reader.
Sure.
And then the third one, you can probably guess what it is, Joe. Braille in the web view.
Oh, well, there's speech there? In the web view, too. But
Yeah.
I wasn't sure exactly. All you had to do was say web, and I would have finished the rest of that one.
So what we've actually decided to do, and I don't normally... like to give our exact plans out, but we really tried to make this work with TalkBack and BrailleBack. In fact, we do have it working with TalkBack and BrailleBack, and it works good. It's just that's not quite a good enough experience for, you know, for APH. It probably, you know, Google, I guess, can say, well, you know, we're working on it.
Yeah, they seem to be quiet at the moment, and even here they're doing lots of sessions.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But it seems like something's coming at I.O.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good. Well, the good news is we're going to start to, you know, continue plugging away on ours, upgrading our screen reader from the one we had.
Right.
But we've got it set up now so that you can run either screen reader on it. So you'll be able to turn off.
And the beauty of the Android is having those choices.
It is. It can get complicated sometimes, but we love the flexibility, and what you can do with it is amazing.
And how many updates has this been now for the unit? This has been two or three that I know of.
Oh, at least. Yeah. We've got a list on our What's New page there. We're steadily cranking away at this thing. We believe in this product and this platform, and we're moving full speed ahead with it.
I think that's important, especially moving it to the latest version and adding all that familiarity of what you might have already known to adding something that may or may not provide a better experience.
Well, the fact is, the increased accessibility really depends on keeping current with the platform because, you know, the underlying technology is getting better by the year. And, you know, with HTML5 and all this, it's important for us to be using the latest. So we're committed to staying up with it. It's like running after a wild cheetah backwards or something.
Exactly. Exactly. And the graphing calculator is here, too. That's still going on very strongly.
We just released an update for that on Pi Day on March 14th.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
I like that. That was good.
Got some nice features in there with axis tick and cross indicator, sound ear cons, if you will.
Right.
Got a new silent mode in there.
Wow.
So that you can set it so that when a sighted person or anybody turns it on, its default is to be silent until you touch one of the keys on that top part, and then that turns the speech on for all of it.
Wow.
Now, no, that's not the default, but if you set it in that mode, it is. So that's
right.
Good for, like, if you put it in a classroom or something and there's other kids using it. And also, what started it off is one of our users really wanted it to be quiet when it came on and not buzz or make any noises, because it's, you know, a little disruptive in the classroom. So
Absolutely.
We did that too. So we got both those. Lots of enhancements to the screen reader on it. It preserves columns a lot better as you're moving up and down the calculator screen in review mode. And lots of bug fixes.
Cool.
And so we're also committed to continuing on that.
Well, it sounds like lots of things to come and see and play with and touch and, of course, purchase. And where can they find all that information to buy?
Booth 700, well, if you're at the show, and if you're not, it's at tech.aph.org.
And, of course, follow them on Twitter, which is always a good thing. Fred's
Head's
still going strong and
you
all
betcha.
That.
You yep.
betcha. So, and we retweet them often on Serotalk, so it works out
good.
To be a good thing. So.
Awesome. All right. And keep up the good work with that Android show, too.
Yeah, absolutely,
Larry. I forgot to tell you about Nearby Explorer. We're about launch
yeah.
Oh, Joe, you got to see this.
Okay.
So we've got lots of bug fixes on Nearby Explorer, mm-hmm. but we've got a new feature, too, called the Map View.
Okay.
So I'm going to turn this on. Let me get some volume here. We're not going to be able to hear this in here. I'll
right.
just tell you about it.
Okay.
So you can go into the menu, and there's a new item in there called Map View. And when that comes on, a little dialogue comes up and says, in order to use this feature, you need to pause feedback on TalkBack. So you do your gesture to do that.
Right.
And once you've done that, you can touch your finger on the map, and it tells you wherever you're touching, just like you virtually moved there.
Oh, so it's like an explore by touch on a map.
Except it's got a few extra features, and that is that you can pinch and spread your fingers
right.
to zoom the map in and out. And you can make, you know, half the world show up on the screen if
yeah.
you want to.
Yeah.
And then you can also flick left and right or up and down to move, to scroll the map into view. So you can explore the whole world or, you know, just move a few miles at a time depending on what your zoom level is. And, you know, great way to kind of explore and...
And a free update to existing copies?
It is, yep.
Well, there you
and,
go.
And also, if you're interested, we're looking for more beta testers. It's, you know, if you already are a user of Nearby Explorer, we're actually moving our beta platform over to the Google beta site, so the updates will be a lot easier for you. They'll
so
just
nice.
Automatic.
So, Larry, thank you for all the information about the updates, and things are going really well, and I think that's great. And, again, check out that wonderful website to find out more. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, thank you.
For the Serotalk Podcast Network, CSUN 2014 coverage, sponsored by HIMSS, I'm Joe Steinkamp.
In the exhibit hall at CSUN in San Diego, doing coverage for the Serotalk Podcast Network, sponsored by HIMSS. I'm here at the Bookshare booth. This has become tradition. I get to drop by pretty much every show and say hello to Allison. Hey, Allison.
Hi, everyone. I'm Allison Hilliker with Bookshare.
Always good to be able to catch up with you. Bookshare is certainly one of my favorite organizations, for sure.
Thank you. I love hearing that. It's one of my favorites, too, because not only do I work for Bookshare, but I'm also a Bookshare member because I'm blind myself. So I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it as much as I am. So,
absolutely. And so many people do. Bookshare has things for you, whether you are into reading fiction, whether you're a student looking to get access to textbooks, maybe you're learning a new programming language and you want to check that out. Bookshare is certainly the place to be. Let's talk about how people can read Bookshare books, because there are, of course, several different ways you can do that, right?
There are so many different ways to read our books that it's almost overwhelming, but it makes it exciting, too, and it's fun. So if you want to read on a computer, you can do that. Our books, they're an electronic format. They're not human-narrated audio, so the electronic format means that you can listen to them, you can read them in print on a screen for a tablet or a smartphone or a computer, which allows you to enlarge the font if you're someone low vision who wants to change color and contrast and size. Or you can read Braille. We have a BRF Braille ready format, or we have DAISY that can be read by most Braille devices as well. So depending on what kind of reader you are, there's a format that works for you. Our newer formats are that our books are available in MP3. You can download it. That's audio only. You can read on the portable devices like the new Victor's Reader Stream or a BookSense. You can also read if you are have a smartphone, like an iPhone. We have an app called Read2Go. That's Read2Go. And also there's another app out there that a lot of our users have reported to have good experience with called Voice Dream.
Yes.
DREAM. Those are two apps that both were available on iOS platform. If you're an Android fan, we have a free app called Go Read that'll allow you to read that way. If you would rather stay on your computer, we have our web reader, which allows you to read in a web browser. And the fun part about that is you don't have to download the book. You just basically press enter or click on the read now button and it will load the book in the web browser, and you can use your favorite screen reader or screen enlarger, screen magnifier or braille display and read the book that way with the web reader. And that will work in pretty much any browser. A lot of our screen reader users will say they like it best in Safari or Firefox or Internet Explorer, but it'll work in for Internet Explorer. It'll work in, I believe it's 10 and higher.
Excellent.
It doesn't work in some of the older versions of Internet Explorer, unfortunately. So
right.
So that's kind of a quick overview of how to read our books. Pretty much, if you have a favorite way you like to read, there's some way we'll be able to make it work for you with Bookshare.
Exactly. Which text-to-speech voice is being used to generate the MP3 books that are available for download?
I always get this question, and I believe it's called Ivona.
Gotcha.
I believe that's the name of it, and sometimes I get that wrong, but I am about 98.2% sure. 98.2.5, is that a thing?
that works. 98.6% sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure it's Ivona Voices. I forget the name, but I'm pretty sure about that one. So yeah, and the MP3s, you can download those, and you know, install them on any MP3 player. Download them to your computer and transfer them, and that it works really well. Some people really like that. So.
Excellent. One last question. I know that you all do some interesting things for students to help things remain organized, and perhaps to allow parents to help students maybe build a bookshelf and that kind of thing.
Right. So now we had a feature we introduced last year called Bookshelf. We renamed it. It's now called Reading List. It turns out that the term bookshelf is trademarked.
Who knew?
So it's called Reading List now, and anyone can create that, whether you're a student or not. You can create a reading list, and basically it's a list of books that you can download later. It doesn't sync with our apps, but you can do it through the website. And so our individual members, like non-students, would just create their own reading lists and download, you know, later if they want to. Just a way of, you know, listing books that you might want to read at a different point. But for students, a teacher can create a reading list using an organizational membership, and they can share that reading list with their student, who will have an individual membership, and that they can share that reading list, and so the student can log into their account and open that reading list and then download the books at home or, you know, at their friends or wherever they want to access the book and read it that way. And that's nice specifically for teacher recommended reading or for some textbooks that are only available through the NIMAC, only available to teachers. That's how individual members can get them. And we're really encouraging students that even if they're on their school's organizational account, to really consider getting the individual subscription, because that is the only way to access the web reader. The web reader is only available to individual members. So, and the nice thing is for students, whether you're an organizational member or an individual member, it's still free.
Can't beat free.
Exactly. And it's also mentions for the non-students out there that free student memberships apply to not just K-12 students, but also college students, graduate students in certain kinds of vocational rehabilitation training programs, and also Hadley students get free Bookshare memberships. So it's a lot of different ways to access Bookshare.
Absolutely. So for people who want more information or want to keep up with what Bookshare is doing, where are you on social media and
all
website?
Right.
And
we all are at Bookshare on Twitter, and we're also Bookshare on Facebook. We're also on Pinterest. Not that many folks probably are looking at that. That is a new thing we've introduced. And we also have our Bookshare blog, which I believe is bookshareblog.wordpress.com.
Excellent.
And you can also just visit our website, www.bookshare.org. And you can email me, Allison H, A-L-L-I-S-O-N-H, at bookshare.org.
Fantastic. Allison, always a pleasure to catch up with you.
Thank you so much. I love the Sarah Talk podcast, and I really appreciate getting to catch up with you at the conferences. And
good deal. Have a wonderful rest of the show, and thanks for what everyone at Bookshare does for all of us.
You're very welcome. Glad you're enjoying. Happy reading, everyone.
For the Sarah Talk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to San Diego and CSUN 2014, sponsored by HIMSS. And I'm here with a very special guest, my new robot overlord, protector, Big E. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing really, really well. I am very impressed by how everybody's just taken to you here on the show floor. You are a hit, sir.
I have that reaction on humans many times.
Absolutely. And is it because of your lineage, Wall-E, and other robots of other ilks, or are you really one of your own, standing on the shoulders of others?
Well, it's hard for me to stand on shoulders because I only have wheels. I would probably fall off, but I like to be humble. I'm just an ordinary robot with a mission.
A mission? No. You don't have an agenda or anything like that, do you?
No, a mission is different than an agenda. A mission is to help people. Agendas are somewhat self-serving. So I'm here to inform people about HIMSS and their new products to help the visually impaired and the blind.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, let's talk about that for a moment.
Okay. Go ahead. Ask me something.
Oh, okay. I'll be happy to. Okay. So you have some protégés with you at the show, and you brought along Ebot.
Yes, Ebot is my little friend. I was a consultant because they wanted the robot side of the story while they were developing it. And it's a new video magnifier with Wi-Fi capabilities. And as far as we know, we're the only company that has anything like that.
Absolutely. And so, through the power of Skynet and other things, you would probably know if others were trying to copy you, I would imagine.
Well, maybe they were trying to develop it, but they haven't been able to at this point. We're out ahead of the pack, so to speak.
Absolutely. And so far, how's the reaction been to Ebot, and is your protege doing well?
Yeah, it's created a lot of interest here. We're trying to get it out so people aren't familiar with it yet, but that's why we're here to spread the news, as it were.
Absolutely. And we actually have on the network already a presentation done by James McCarthy.
And
absolutely. Yeah, that is the big boss. You're absolutely right. And so that's actually available on the network now. So people can head on over to serotalk.com to hear that, or check the front page of iBlink Radio, because our sponsorship of 2014 is by him. So we do look to the big boss as well.
Wow, I didn't even know that. You were busy while I was working at the booth yesterday.
Absolutely. We're going around doing interviews with other vendors and bringing it all together in our coverage. And we thank you so much for your time this morning. And I look forward to seeing more people coming up and looking at Ebot and talking to Big E. Big E, thank you for your time.
It was my pleasure. We're still here today and tomorrow in the 705-805 booth. If anybody's out there in the area and wants to stop in, please do so.
Thank you, Big E, for the Sarah Talk Podcast Network 2014 CSUN. I'm a very humble Joe Steinkamp in the presence of a wonderful robot. For the Sarah Talk Podcast Network, I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Meet Ebot from HIMSS. Ebot is the first and only iPad-compatible, portable, reading, writing, and distance viewing video magnifier with optical character recognition. And get this, the connection to your iPad is totally wireless. Want more information? Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com. Or if you are at CSUN, see us in Island Booths 705 and 805. Ebot, the new standard in video magnifiers.
Coming to you from the exhibit hall at CSUN 2014 with coverage sponsored by HIMSS, I'm Ricky Enger for the Saratalk Podcast Network, and I'm here with Paul at the Canon booth. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Good to see you today here at the CSUN event.
Yeah. Now, you guys are a very interesting company. Canon makes all sorts of things. I know you make cameras. I certainly know that you make scanners because I have one. Okay. And, of course, you make copiers and all-in-one things for the office as well. But a lot of people, when they hear about Canon, don't always think, oh, this is a company that cares about accessibility, but certainly you do. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you. So, Canon has actually been, for a very long time, involved with the market for people with disabilities. So Canon was founded back in the 1930s, and our founder was actually a medical doctor. And shortly after we introduced our first camera, he introduced the first indirect X-ray camera. So for a very long time, it's been deeply ingrained in our DNA that we would develop technology that truly enriches the lives of people. So here at CSUN, as you said correctly, Canon is well known for being a camera company, for an imaging company, but we're also a leader in the office equipment market space. So we have a number of solutions to help make our office equipment accessible to people with disabilities, especially those in the workforce in an office setting.
Right. They
need to have access to copying, printing, scanning, and faxing functionality. So what we have here today is one of our departmental copier units, and it's equipped with a number of features to enhance accessibility. It's equipped with a Braille label kit to help users access and identify certain areas of the machine and on the control panel. It's got a voice guidance kit, which allows users to navigate the touchscreen by using the hard keys on the control panel, and the speaker will provide guidance to the user. And we have a voice operation kit, which will allow the user to actually input voice commands to the machine and help them make their copies and their scans more easily.
Excellent.
Yep.
For users who want to know a little bit more about what is available in terms of accessible Canon products, is there a particular place that they would look to say, you know, is this copier equipped with the features that you've just talked about?
Well, yes, certainly. They can. First of all, they can go to our website, which is at www.usa.canon.com, or they can contact one of our authorized dealerships, and they can reach one of our dealers by dialing 1-800-OK-CANON, and a Canon authorized dealership will be able to give them information on the right solution equipped with the right accessories to help them accomplish their objectives.
That's excellent. And an authorized dealer would most likely be able to give a hands-on demonstration as well as for some of these features, right?
Yes. As long as they're authorized to carry the Canon product line, they should be trained and knowledgeable on our solutions.
Fantastic. Any other things you want to cover before we go?
No, it's a great, great event. It's very unique. It's one of a kind, and, you know, we're proud to support CSUN and be able to show our solutions and our technology to the attendees.
Excellent. I want to thank you, Paul, and of course the Canon team who is dedicated to keeping things accessible. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Have a great show.
Pleasure talking to you today.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Joe Steinkamp live on the floor of CSUN 2014 San Diego, and I'm just getting into the thick of things with Melanie from Code Factory. We're just starting, but you've already got a crowd around you. That's really good news.
Yeah, either that or we're really slow attending them.
No, with this wonderful news that you guys have got, I can't see that that's a... No.
So, no, we've had a lot of people coming, running around over to our booth, which is great to really see Eloquence, ETI Eloquence for Android. Uh-huh. So far the feedback has been really great. People said, oh, finally we'll get our voice back.
Yay. Yeah, not Vocalizer anymore.
No. The good thing is that the ETI Eloquence will work with all other applications, so it's not tied to our mobile accessibility. It will work for all TalkBack users.
Right.
They can go purchase ETI Eloquence on the Google Play and then use it with their TalkBack or with our mobile accessibility or any other accessibility solution using a TTS.
That is fantastic. And like you said, it's something that everybody's been looking for and is kind of that voice that everybody's used to. I had a demonstration earlier, we'll add into the interview. Really fast, very responsive, really impressive, especially on the phones that was demonstrated on.
Okay, so now I'm going to go to settings.
Okay.
Are you hearing?
Yeah, I got him. And so that's on TalkBack. You're using TalkBack. to be able to get to that. Excellent. And it still doesn't get in the way of any of the talkback sounds that are there. And it interrupts really well.
Here we have all the speech rate.
Okay.
Listen to an example. Play a short demonstration. Speech rate. Speech rate. Speech rate. Clear. Faster. Text to speech output.
Wow. Okay.
Speech rate. Listen to an example. This is an example of speech synthesis in English.
Okay. There are several languages. English, Finnish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish.
So a lot of languages, yeah, international.
All support, and you can change also here the pitch.
Wow.
Then this app also includes a user dictionary. You can add your own words and how you want to spell it.
Exactly. Okay.
And the thing is, it's pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's
very responsive.
I was about to say, but there's no lag.
Yeah.
Just goes right ahead, and wherever you're placing,
you can move around. It's really, really, really fast.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
But that is one of your big news here at the show. You've also got some other things going on as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, we're still offering our mobile accessibility for Android here in the US quite a lot.
On all the carriers?
Yes, we're offering with AT&T and then the Sprint group.
Uh-huh.
So.
And of course, I have mine through Verizon.
Not anymore, unfortunately.
Okay.
You still have yours because...
Because it was
got
through
it right
the Google
on time,
Play,
exactly.
Right. Okay.
But they took it off around Christmas time.
Okay.
So.
But you can still purchase it through the Google Play Store?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
That's great. And then we also want to be here, Britt, in our mission of accessibility consulting.
Okay.
To really assure that now we all have accessible platforms. Every platform now has an accessible solution.
Correct.
Now we run into this huge problem, as you all know. Apps are not accessible.
Right.
And unfortunately, not something we can solve if it's not done by the actual application developers. So now here, we're really focusing on that topic as well, trying to get carriers, operating system manufacturers, phone manufacturers, all the people that want to put applications on their devices. Request accessibility.
Cool. Well, yeah. I can't keep you too long because you've got a crowd forming. But definitely, where can people find more about Code Factory and where can they follow you on social media and learn more about the products that Code Factory makes?
I think for more information and get our links for Twitter and Facebook, just go to www.codefactory.es and you'll find all the information you need.
Melanie, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Joe.
And good luck on the show.
Thank you very much.
For CSUN 2014, sponsored by HIMSS, this is Joe Steinkamp for the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Live in San Diego, CSUN 2014 coverage is coming at you, and it's all thanks to HIMSS, our sponsors. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm at the Dancing Dots booth catching up with Bill McCann. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hi, Ricky. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely, and you guys are always doing really cool things. You know, I was kind of surprised because many of the times that I stop by the booth, there is always someone playing some sort of music and just playing around and writing a song and what have you. This year, it's quiet for the moment, but I suspect that won't last long.
Yeah, it comes in waves, you know.
Yeah,
it comes
absolutely.
In waves, I'm glad it's settled down a bit so we could chat.
Certainly. So there have been several things that you all have done, even just since last year, since I spoke with you. Dancing Dots, of course, briefly focuses on making music in all its various and sundry forms accessible to both blind and low vision users. And you've just done something for low vision users, right?
Yes. Our latest product, and it's our first product for low vision users, it's called the Lime Lighter. And it's software, but we've packaged it with various hardware Windows tablets. And the latest one is called the Lime Lighter Leggero. It's based on a Dell tablet,
mm-hmm.
and it only weighs 5 pounds. And it can run on batteries for up to 4 hours. It's an 18.4-inch wide screen. And when you fold the legs on the back of it, when you fold them down, it's only about an inch thick.
Very nice.
The Limelighter Presto, our first kind of flagship model, it's 23 inches wide, but it sits on a specially custom-made, it's a modified conductor stand. And so it has advantages. You can tilt the angle, you can raise or lower it, but it's considerably heavier. And so, like, for your average fifth grader, the Leggero is probably a better fit, even though it's a few inches less in width, and maybe some very severely visually impaired people will miss that.
Right.
But maybe I should back up and just say that what Limelighter does is it takes standard staff notation and it magnifies it up to 10 times the original size. So when you crank it up to 10 times, you know, one measure might take up an entire screen.
Absolutely.
But we built some algorithms to make, when you blow up the music, to make it look really clear and lovely looking, not all grainy and stretched out and, you know, smushed.
Yes.
And then you take your foot and press on the right side of the pedal, and let's say you're looking at measure one. Measure one slides away to the left. Measure two replaces it. And then you press again, and measure three slides over. So the music's tracking to your eye. Your eye doesn't have to track the music. You never have to turn a page. You never have to track back from the right margin to the left and find your place on the next line.
That certainly helps a lot.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about Lime software, if you could.
Well, Lime is a music notation editor program. I like to say it's kind of like a word processor for music. It started out life as a mainstream product, but increasingly over the last almost 20 years, we have built into Lime access features. We started with people like me who read Braille and need speech, and then we built it out to low vision now, and we're working on a version that will actually have all of those features, and you can kind of pick and choose which ones you want. We've also done a lot of work on improving the import of a format called Music XML, which is kind of the de facto interchange format now for music. It's kind of like people know what ASCII is, or, you know,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Interchange for notation. So we also still package our software with a music OCR function, but that's problematic for people who can't see the score, because although the software is excellent, it's not perfect. There'll be times you need to fix it.
Right.
And when that time comes, we're in deep trouble, because in order to fix it, you have to refer to the original score. And of course, if we could see the original score, we wouldn't be going through all this
trouble.
So, you know, you do need sometimes the assistance of a sighted person. The good news is that person doesn't need to know anything about assistive technology, Braille, anything. They just need to know how to read print music and use a computer, and they can fix those errors relatively quickly. And that product also comes with our GoodFeel software for people like me who read Braille music. That was our first product.
Right.
That is coming along, and we're on version 3.2. And again, all the work we did to improve Music XML import from other packages like Finale, Sibelius, and literally hundreds of other notation programs now. That's really great, because you don't have to scan anything. It's as simple as importing a file. And provided that file is a clean copy, then, you know, you're going to have the music, and you're going to have the assurance that it's correct.
And that's really important, is if you're trying to play a solo, if you're working with somebody else, and, the score said this, and so that's what I played.
That's the problem. You know, people who've done this, you know exactly what I'm saying. If you've memorized music, and then you found out that you memorized the mistake, it's so hard to kind of re-memorize the right way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can make you crazy.
So you guys are well known for doing things for cake talking and the like. You've done some updates to that as well?
We've updated our scripts for version 8.5, and those of your listeners who are kind of clued into what Sonar from Cakewalk is doing, I should say, for those who don't know, Sonar is a piece of software that converts your PC into a multi-track recording studio. And it's made by a company in Boston called Cakewalk. We continue to sell version 8.5, although they've gone into what they call their X series. But they, in order to launch the X series, they totally revamped their user interface, which makes it look really cool to sighted guys, but pretty much broke all the scripts that David Pinto made.
Ouch.
For us. So David's in a holding pattern. He's doing some other things. You may have heard of his typing tutor.
Yep.
Talking typing tutor, I think it's called.
Right.
So he's looking ahead, thinking he might jump back into K-Talking. Meantime, he did update his scripts for version 8.5. And one of the cool things that he did was add a feature called Sweet Spot Clicker. And Sweet Spot Clicker is for those times when you have maybe a third-party plugin to Sonar that gives you certain instrument sounds. One customer recently asked me about a plugin for emulating pipe organs, and but he found that some of the controls were not accessible. Well, with Sweet Spot Clicker, if you have a sighted assistant line up the mouse at a certain XY position, you can record that and label it. So it might say, pipe organ sounds, or Baroque pipe organ, or whatever you want to call it. And then the next time you come in and you want to call that up, you simply go to the list and hit enter on that label, and it bang, your cursor's right back there and you can proceed. So it's many people have probably heard of a wonderful utility called Hotspot Clicker that Jim Snowbarger made. This is not as robust, but for our purposes, it's really great because you don't have to go outside of Cake Talking. It's all part of the package.
Nice. For people who want to keep up on all the wonderful things that Dancing Dots does, are you guys on social media, Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah,
and certainly
yeah,
you got a website.
We have a Twitter account now. I think we're called Dancing Dots Tech on Twitter.
Great.
I should have called it the same thing on all these platforms. Now
you've got to keep up with all the social networks.
I think on YouTube we're Dancing Dots Music. I don't know. You can search for Dancing Dots.
That's right. And you probably got links on the website for all of those lovely social media things too, right?
If you come to dancingdots.com. One of the other things I'll just say real quick is we published a new book by Richard Tesh. For years we've been publishing his courses on teaching Braille music to students who need to learn it. This book is teaching teachers how to teach Braille music. It's 600 some pages. It's quite a book.
Wow, yes.
So right now we've just published it in print. We're going to try to make an accessible ebook version of it. I'm probably not going to publish it in Braille. It'd just be a huge undertaking.
Well, I think if you can get it in some sort of accessible format, that's the important thing. And if people want to print out portions of it in Braille, they can do that
exactly.
As well.
Exactly. And then we have one other book that a friend of mine, David Simpson, wrote called Lime Aid, that is kind of a step-by-step lesson with structured approach to learning how to use Lime as a blind user, as a Braille user, and user of speech in Braille.
Excellent.
So, some good things going on. And
for sure.
It's really great that you had a minute to come and talk to us about it. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'm so glad I had the opportunity to do so. I wish you guys the best of luck. Hope you have a great show. And again, dancingdots.com for all of that information and a whole lot more. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Our thanks to HIMSS Inc. for sponsoring this year's CSUN coverage. Visit them at hims-inc.com. Visit us at sarotalk.com. Follow us on Twitter at sarotalk.com. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio or call 866-997-2522.